sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So page 74. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 11, 15. The mercantile community should always follow the directions of the brahmanas and engage in such occupational duties as agriculture, trade, and protection of cows. For the shudras, the only duty is to accept a master from a higher social order and engage in service. Footnote 44. Srila Prabhupada relates these instructions to the ISKCON movement. Sometimes brahmanas protest against our Krishna conscious movement for creating brahmanas from Europeans, or in other words, from Alechas and Yavanas. Like that. Or in other words. Yes. This movement, however, is here supported in Srimad Bhagavatam. At the present moment, society is in a chaotic condition and everyone has given up the cultivation of spiritual life, which is especially meant for the brahmanas. Because spiritual culture has been stopped all over the world, there is now an emergency, and therefore it is time to train those who are considered lower and condemned, so that they may become brahmanas and take up the work of spiritual progress. The spiritual progress of human society has been stopped, and this should be considered an emergency. Here is solid support from Narad Muni of the movement known as Krishna Consciousness, 7.11.17 purport. 7.11.21. The symptoms of a Brahman are control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity and penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, simplicity, knowledge, mercy, truthfulness, and complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Those qualities, they concern the ashram, not the varna as such?
No, this, because when you say Brahman, you mean the varna. So that means in performing the brahminical duties, these are the qualities required. It means it's not that those aren't required in the ashram also, but that's required by everybody in the ashram. But in the performance of their duties, you require this to do brahminical work. Right? Because many times it's thought that, oh, it's just the skill. But it's not. Shudras, it's only the skill. That's all that's there. But we see in others, then, the qualities are required.
So, yeah. Because my point was that creating brahmanas from lechas and yavanas, naturally, you won't have those qualities in the varna.
No, but in the ashram, then you are endeavoring for that. Because if we say you have to do these in the ashram, everybody will basically agree and make that endeavor. But if you say you have to do that in the varna, then you know, gets that. So those who can do, then they'll take that up. In other words, they're doing the brahminical work. Mm-hmm. Whether they are having these qualities of the Brahmins, that's another thing, but at least they're doing the work. Right? You know, that's the 7.11.22. To be influential in battle, unconquerable, patient, challenging, and charitable, to control the bodily necessities, to be forgiving, to be attached to the brahminical nature, and to be always jolly and truthful, these are the symptoms of the kshatriya. Right. So we see is the qualities. So this means you want to do administration. These are what's necessary. Right. So it's also again thought it's down to skills. Just you have skills and how to make a presentation and how to deal, and you know sometimes they'll talk about a little bit about qualities, but then it's in the relationship to it's efficient for getting the meeting done. So it's just about the meeting. It's not actually about Yeah, so influential in battle means if you're having whatever it is, the context where there's different opinions, to have influence like that. Patient, we generally don't think of that in a manager, right? You generally think of them. Okay, challenging, that's okay. Charitable, generally we don't think about that, right? Control the bodily necessities. We like to think, oh, the kshatriyas can do whatever they want. But no, they're able to control the bodily necessities. To be forgiving, that's also a point that we don't get there. To attach to the Brahminical culture. It's like, kind of, are you kidding? And to be always jolly and truthful, right? So that we take it as political here instead of truthful. Then you know, and jolly is that, you know, you have to be real sober and quiet and uninteresting, right?
Like kshatriya is jolly.
Charlie, because, you know, it's just, the point is if you're functioning in the present, then why you won't be jolly?
That's everybody should be, then.
Not necessarily. They have to, because the point is that you're trying to run something very big. And so unless you have a positive attitude, will you be able to do it? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, you have, let's say you have your anarchists. Can they actually run anything? No, because they're totally pessimistic. So that's the whole thing, is you have to have that optimistic element. Otherwise, how do you get something done? How do you take, you know, something insane and turn it into something positive unless you have that attitude?
So jolly means just optimistic.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that, well, what's it? We're not talking old King Cole here. But at the same time, is it does fit. So their happiness is based on their performing their duties, they're situated, they're guided by the Brahmins, they have good ministers, so that's it. It's not that they're jolly because they accomplish something. Their situation is, you know, how you say, jolly full. Right? Is that make sense? Seven, 11, 23. Being always devoted to the demigods, the spiritual master and the supreme lord, Vishnu, endeavoring for advancement in religious principles, economic development and sense gratification, dharma, artha, and kama, believing in the words of the spiritual master and scripture, and always endeavoring with expertise to earn money, these are the symptoms of the Vaishya. So we see is that it has very much this respective authority, but we see that it's has the aspect of that ritualistic side, because dharma would give artha, right? And then with artha there's kama. So artha is then very much appreciated. So we see, but it's through this, you're worshipping authorities, demigod, spiritual master Vishnu, endeavoring for religious advancement in religious principles, right? So then according to Shastra, then the dharma, artha, and kama, right? And then believing in the words of the spiritual master, because otherwise then the tendency will be towards just what profit, you know, it'll be that. No, but it's, the words then have to be there. And always endeavoring with expertise in earning money, because that they're going to do anyway. So therefore then, no, it should be done with expertise, not just, oh, sentimentally go out there and do something, and then you waste money. Right? So with expertise, it's applied, then they gain. Right? So that makes sense. 7.11.24. Offering obeisances to the higher section of society, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, being always very clean, being free from duplicity, serving one's spiritual master, performing sacrifices without uttering mantras, not stealing, always speaking the truth, and giving all protection to the cows and Brahmanas, these are the symptoms of the Shudra. Okay, footnote 45. Pages 75. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse. It is everyone's experience that workers or servants are generally accustomed to stealing. A first-class servant is one who does not steal. Here it is recommended that a first-class Shudra must remain very clean, must not steal or speak lies, must always render service to his master. A Shudra may attend sacrifices and Vedic ritualistic ceremonies along with his master, but he should not utter the mantras, for these may be uttered only by the members of the higher sections of society. Unless one is completely pure and has been raised to the standard of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. In other words, unless one is Dvija, twice born, the chanting of mantras will not be fruitful. That's the whole point, is that one can say, oh, this is mundane, but the point is that's what the Vedic mantras are dealing with. You know? That's the whole thing. So saying that, like we were saying, okay, saying that the 8-year-old kid can't drive the car, you could say, whoa, that's so mundane. Why you're so bodily conscious? But the point is it won't have the benefit. That's what's there. So if the Shudra without qualification is chanting the mantras, they won't give the result. So then why get involved? You know, it's just like someone who has no idea of business. Do you give him capital to start a business? No, it won't work. So without qualification, it doesn't work. So we'll say everything is based on qualification. But then when you say this is also Vedic mantras, oh no, why not everybody? That's because we don't know. Does that make sense? So it's a simple thing. If they qualify, unless one is completely pure and has been raised to the standard of Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, then they won't be there. So if that Shudra is able to elevate himself to that platform and function on that platform, then why not chant the mantra? Right? So that's what Prabhupada is talking about. Narad Muni is then giving this position. But you have to be able to elevate yourself to that platform. That doesn't mean just occasionally here and there. That means that's the standard. Then from there, then it's fine. Does that make sense? Sutra 1337. Tad abhava nir dharane cha pravritehe. Tat, of that. Abhava, of the non-existent. Nir dharane, in ascertaining. Cha, also, pravritehe, because of endeavor. In the case of Javala, he was taught because the Guru determined that he was not a Shudra and arranged for his samskara. Sutra Prakashika. This sutra shows how a Guru will take care to determine that a student is not a Shudra and how this discrimination is based on the Brahminical qualities. Sri Govindabhasya. The Shudra's lack of samskaras is here emphasized. In the Chandogya Upanishad 444, Javala spoke the truth by saying, Naham etad vede bho yad gotro ham asmi. I do not know to which gotra I belong. Because he told the truth, Gotama determined that he was not a Shudra. Right? Because the point is you want to learn from the teacher. And knowing your gotra, then that's an important thing so they can establish. If you don't know your gotra, that right there means you're not qualified. Right? So now, what would be the first thing that you would not want to tell to Gotama? Right? That you don't know your gotra. But that's what he tells him. Right? So then Gotama determines then, oh here's the point. Gotama then said, a non-Brahmin would not speak in this way. Gentle one, bring the firewood. I will accept you. You do not deviate from the truth. Right, so that he's speaking in this way is truthful. That's gentle because he's dealing and respecting the Brahmin. He's not trying to use politics. That's what Karna did. Then he's a Kshatriya, but not a purified Kshatriya. So therefore, then he acted, you know, technically like a charioteer. Right? That's why the Pandavas had trouble respecting him. On the battlefield, he was good. He knew his stuff. He was fighting. He was chivalrous and this and that. But outside of that, he tended to act more like a suta than the other one when it came to respecting authority in that. Like you see, he didn't properly respect Parasara. He didn't respect Kripa and Drona. So then that's not a symptom of a Kshatriya because it says the Kshatriya respects the Brahminical culture. It didn't even just respect. It was... to be attached to the Brahminical nature. Right? So we don't see that there. So that's the difficulty. Right? So here we see is that he did that. So that's why he said he's gentle, he's respecting, he's demonizing. Then he said, bring the firewood, right? Because bringing the firewood means that you're ready to render service, right? Tad vidhi pradipatena, pradiprashnena, sevaya. That sevaya then is represented by bringing the wood. Because bringing the wood means you tend the fires, right? You're not just bringing anything, right? You're bringing the wood for doing sacrifice. So that's the whole thing. And where do you get it? You get it out in the forest. How do you get it? Not by the first tree you see cutting down. You go out and you collect the branches that have fallen off the trees, right? So that means the dead wood. One, two, has two purposes. One, it doesn't bother the tree because the tree's already dropped that branch, so it doesn't need it anymore, right? So it's old in that. Second is that wood will be dry. You cut down a tree, it's green. It's not going to actually burn properly for, you know, weeks or months. But you go out and collect that. So that means you don't just get it right in one place. Right? You don't just cut down a tree and then all your wood's there. That's why you see like Krishna and Sudama, they're going through the forest trying to find that. So in some seasons you'll have more or less or different things like that. Or if you started in one place, then it won't be there. Another place will have. And then with time, that first place will have again. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is, you're willing to render service. That's the idea of that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
If somebody doesn't know Varna, then it's considered to be Shudra as the default?
Basically. That's the point. So that's the whole thing that Prabhupada mentioned before, is that the smartas, then they get upset these malechas and yavanas are taking up the brahminical activities. Because they wouldn't have a clue. See, one of the traditional elements of a cultured family, the Dwijas, is you know the parentage back seven generations. Yeah. Like that.
Means sometimes you're, even more. Huh? Sometimes even more.
Yeah, but seven's the minimum. Yeah. They may know more, but they should know seven. Because the point is, you have to go, if you go back seven, then that, because within six, that's called swajati. Right? So, sagotra means, okay, same gotra. So then, if for marriage ceremonies, you can't have same gotra. Girl has to be from a different gotra. So right there, it's that, that's there. But then it's the next step is sajati. Is that then, do they have a common ancestor within six generations? So that means unless you know seven, you can't tell. Does that make sense? So that's what this is for. So then you would consider these are cultured people. You know? And so then, you know, for many it's that is not necessary. You might know your grandfather, you might not. He's grandpa, you don't even know his name. You know, like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So then that's not considered. Would be considered then Shudra, or outcast. So for us, we would look at it, oh no, but then we're classified as a Shudra. We should look at it, actually, that's pretty good. That's a step up. From Antija to Shudra, that's actually looking up, right? It's progressive. Right? So here is because of the way he behaves. So we can see it's about the guna and karma. So the guna is there. He has the brahminical qualifications. Therefore, he's accepting him in this way. Right? So even though he doesn't know, he hasn't gone through the samskaras because how he's behaving, you can understand he's brahminical. So therefore, then.
Yes. Generally, people put another argument that because of his previous karma, he's born like that in a particular family.
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean that his karma's not there, the nature's not there. See, born in a low-class family, if you see that there's high, good qualities, but the family is low, then one aspect of that is just impure thought. Then that puts you into a low-class family, because low-class family, all they think about is stuff that's impure. So you're in the same environment, though you may not have that nature. Does that make sense? Because if you go by that, then you keep going back, oh, but they were there, but you know, here, but then you keep going back, then what were we? You know, at some point everyone was Indra, so therefore then he should sit down there and you should do the Indra Puja for them, or, you know, saying, point is you have to go with what's there now. You can't go with in the past. So, if we're taking it from a positive, yes, he could do that because in the last life he was brahminical, but according to this he ended up here. But then why can't we say that about anybody else? Right? Why is it only if they're born in a low-class family in India, then there's discussion? That means it can be anywhere. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It reminds me of this story where that boy also approached his guru and he said, the guru asked, who is your father? And he asked his mother, who is my father? She says, I don't know, so many men come.
It's the same one.
It's the same one.
It's the same one.
So the question is, if he didn't go through the samskaras, and he had the Brahminical qualification simply on the basis of his father.
He had the Brahminical qualifications because of his nature. Because the mother didn't know who the father was. You know what I'm saying? So, the point is he has this nature. That's our point. Is birth is not... Birth, generally, it's... You could say as a general rule, 80% of the time, that's the way it is. But it's not completely. So, in general... A child's born in a Brahmin family, you'll deal with him like a Brahmin and expect him to go through all the, you know, the Brahminical training and everything like that and come out as a practicing Brahmin. But it's not necessarily that happens. That's why we have Dvija Bandhus. And then you have those that may be born outside of that, but they have those qualifications. So the Vedic system then is actually what qualification they have. That's what you deal with. So you deal with someone how they are now. And then you deal with that, how to bring it forward. And then comes forward, nice. If it doesn't come forward, then you just continue in that position. Does that make sense? So that's why Prabhupada makes the points. It's not about birth. It's about qualification. Birth is just a general indication, because otherwise how do you deal with the kid? Otherwise, then what family he's in? Right? They're born in a Kshatriya family, then he's a prince. You know what I'm saying? But if he proves himself not to be a prince, just like, let's say, Siddhartha, then he's dealt with as a Brahmin. Does that make sense? Like that. So, that's the whole idea, is that birth is just a general indication, but in reality you go by how they actually do behave, what qualities... and what activities they perform. You know, like Vena, good family, bad individual. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it's not that birth doesn't give a general indication, because much of the time you see, you know, how you say by the apple not falling very far from the tree principle, that whatever family they're in generally matches, because the point is the consciousness of the parents attracts that particular living entity. Does that make sense? So, then, but at the same time, is you can't say what the mind was on at the time. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, like that. Thus, Jabala was taught the Vedas because Gotama made arrangement for the samskara. It should be understood that Brahman qualification is representative of any of the three higher varnas, right? So he's not just talking about... It's given an example of the Brahman, because the example will generally always be given an example of the Brahman, but it applies to all three. You know, just like, for example, we're discussing charity. So that would be discussed in connection with the Grihastha, but it doesn't mean the other three varnas don't give in charity. It's just that the Grihasthas generally have more facility to give in charity. Right? Does that make sense? Because with the others, you may just see it's the mood. With the Grihasthas, you can actually see the form. So anything that has the form generally is used as the example, because people, you know, like to see form. Does that make sense? Because then you can put it together. You have the mood, but let's see the activity, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So the guna is there, just the karma. How much can, let's say someone comes to Sudama Brahman's house, how much can you give in charity? Right? Not much. But charity is part of the thing. So they'll give something, right? They took to Krishna, they took a handful of chira. Right? So that's what we're talking about. But you see these others, you know, we're talking about Kshatriyas. Now when we have example of that in Varna, we see Kshatriyas. You know, 10,000 cows to each Brahmin, and there's, you know, unlimited Brahmins. So, does that make sense? Yeah.
Maharaj, How does one acquire the gunas?
How does one acquire the gunas? Means you want to know, do we go down to Big Bazaar or down to Shopper's Stop or, you know, like that.
Looks better.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Means, you know, yeah. Like that.
Because both is...
You might try Marks and Spencer's, but... Go ahead. Oh, your question is answered. Okay, good, good. Didn't like the other two. Marks and Spencer's, I'll buy that, you know. But if you said Harrods, now we're talking, right? No, you don't like Harrods. Okay. That's good.
I don't know. I'm sticking off the birth, because if someone is born in a Brahman family, it is not necessary that he should be a Brahman.
No, but generally you would start teaching him like they are a Brahmana.
Yeah, they are one, but he can turn out to be a Vijabandhu also.
Yes, of course.
So birth is not the criteria.
No.
But definitely, you know, we can have in the case of Jabal, we find that even though he doesn't know his Gotra, but still he was a Brahmin girl.
Yes.
Yeah. So his birth is not identifying his gunas, you know. So how does the nature become so inherent that...
Because it's coming from last life.
So it's always last life?
You want it to be the one before last life or something?
No, because even the samskaras that the parents perform add to it.
Yes, of course. But that's just one part of it.
Otherwise,
so in other words...
Give so much importance to the samskaras. Well, everything comes from last life, so leave the samskaras. You know, that's what many devotees follow.
Yeah, but what were they last life?
Depends.
You know what I'm saying? Because the point is if we were Brahmins last life, so we didn't have the samskaras, but then now we do the samskaras because we consider ourselves Brahminical, why wouldn't we do them? But to say we're not going to do the samskaras because last life we did the samskaras and we already did that and I don't want to do it anymore because I have more important things to do because this afternoon my favorite TV show's on, then how is that Brahminical? How is that an excuse? You ate yesterday. We cooked lunch yesterday, so we don't need to cook lunch today. Right? Just try that at anybody who says that. But don't tell them you're doing that. Wait till they come to lunch and sit down, and there's nothing. Then you say, then they know. Because if you tell them I'm going to do this, then they'll just argue and not buy it. But they actually show up and say, what do you mean? I cooked lunch yesterday. We don't need to cook today. What do you mean? We're hungry and this and that. It says, no. But you said they were Brahman last life, so we don't need to do it this life. Point is, samskaras go with every life. Otherwise, yeah, when you first came to the universe, you were Lord Brahma. Okay, now that's a big position. Now that should last, you know, for quite a while. So it's been time immemorial since I've been Lord Brahma, but hey, I'm still riding on that glory. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah, so how long are they going to use this as an excuse?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Like that. Now, is that men saying that or women saying that?
Men saying that,
okay. So then use the lunch one. If it's women, use the sorry one. Okay? Yes?
We see that education, there are two ways to educate, basically. From bottom and up, or we start high, and then, as you mentioned, you know, then we drop down. But then, as we drop down, people also drop down because they can't relate, they can't understand, they don't have the guna, the meaningful qualities or whatever it is.
Mm.
So the modern is very, you know, from down up, and the Vedic is from up
down,
going down. But it seems that both, they have some difficulties.
Yes.
Fault is there.
It's they have different applications. The principle of what's going on, what it's actually for, you know, the purpose of some, what its actual identity is, what its purpose is, that's top down. Right? So, but the technical, mechanical skill itself has to be bottom up. So, we're going to teach that basic principle. That's like we gave the example of the musician. Right? He can only do a drone, but he understands the purpose of music, what it's for, and this and that. But as far as skill, then that's as far as he can get. So you're doing both at the same time, but of the two, the top down is more important. Right? Because even we're learning the skill that's come from Shabda, from authority. And then we're starting at the beginning of that and building up. So its authority is based in the Veda. That's where it comes from. So when that's there, then within the skill, then we'll learn starting from, you know, the first point to this next point like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that way, then the understanding of their position and how to engage in the Lord's service, that will be the same. How much technically they can engage, that will be according to the individual. That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you're trying to get. So they both function at once. Generally, if there's two things that they both apply, but it seems contradictory, means they both are connected. But it's just a matter of the proportion or which one's more prominent. Like that. Because the modern, it'll be, it's one or the other. Which one is it? Is it this or that?
Yeah.
But it's both. But it's just which one does what does the other, and things like that. That's why each one has some, you know, strong points. So taking them all together, then it works.
So can we say, you know, once we establish the values, then we can teach the skills?
Yes, yes. But if the values aren't understood, the skills won't mean anything, unless it's very fundamental skills.
You know,
yes, they're just simple skills. You know, like, let's say, learning how to write the alphabet, learning the names of the alphabet, the sounds of the alphabet, or learning to write the numbers, you know, things like that. That, even if they don't really understand the value, you can start them from there because it's not serious. But at some point, then you have to teach what's the actual value of communication and of measurement. You know, in other words, time and taste. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So that. Those two have to be at some point. That has to be taught at some point. Though, how much you get into that, basic things may be there in the beginning, but as you go, then it becomes more deep. But you're still teaching from what's come down from authority. Doesn't mean that you're starting from the most advanced position and then coming down to the simplest. That means you're starting from, actually in the Vedic, when you're coming down, you're starting from the simplest. Because when it's at Krishna, it's very uniform. You know, it's very homogenous there. But as it expands out and you get more into detail of the transcendental position, then it becomes more technical. Does that make sense? But the simple Krishna is God, that's simple. How he's God, all the different manifestations of God, and which manifestations he takes care of, which aspects of being God, that's where it becomes more technical. That. So technical is always down and simple is always at the top. So the Vedic starts with the simple. Right? And then on this side, then the fundamentals of the mechanics you start with and then build up. But if one doesn't actually, at some point, understands the fundamentals of the mechanics in connection with the principles in the spiritual, in the Shastra, then one actually doesn't understand things properly. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But Srila Prabhupada mentioned previously that he started the movement in an emergency situation.
Yes, yes.
So sometimes it seems like we're still in an emergency.
Yeah. It'll take a few generations before it's less emergency.
We expected, you know, 50 years, it's right there, so we're out of an emergency.
But the point is have we accepted the Brahminical position and culture? No, so it's still an emergency. So when we've accepted it, we practice it, we're preaching that, then it starts to spread, then the emergency goes down. But if we're still, you know, in other words, those four verses we just read, you know, for many, then it's not a point of discussion. It's a dogma that you can't discuss this because we don't understand it. And so if you have that as a position, then if you're not willing to discuss, Varnashram, then that means you're outside Varnashram, means you're antajas. So that means culturally we're still malechas and yavanas. Okay, we dropped out the mediated. You know, but still, as far as everything else, if you take the Malecha culture and just remove the meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, one, you don't have a whole lot left. You know, if that's what it is, then you're still left in the same dangerous position, because how do you engage your nature? Because you can't identify it, because it's a dogma that you don't discuss, because then you're discriminating. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. At the same time, is you're discriminating, saying that it's discrimination. You know, so it doesn't make any sense. You know, if somebody uses their intelligence, so that's wrong. They use the same intelligence the same way. Oh, that's right. So that's inconsistent. Because if using to tell the difference is bad, then they're telling the difference that it's bad is bad. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem, is that you're left with the same culture, the same value system, with nothing to value. You know what I'm saying? It's because of, basically it's because of, you know, sex and things like that, that you have all the people dress properly and do everything like that. You know, they're clean, you know, you take a bath, you're clean, you do all that stuff because, you know, you want to be attractive. So if you don't want to be attractive, you've given all that, then you see a lot of times they just don't bother. And then you have a whole bunch of stinky people. You know, so that's not very good. You know, so the point is that one has to accept the actual advanced culture, because it helps one advance in spiritual life because of our material considerations, because of the identities. That's why it's a value. Like that. Because for us, it's Varnashram is simply a value on how we can engage things in Krishna's service. But in the spiritual world, it's not about how to be engaged in Krishna's service. They're already absorbed in Krishna. It's how to express that devotion. So we don't have that devotion, so we use it to, at least to practice trying to connect everything to Krishna. They already have connected everything to Krishna, so now they use it in Krishna's service. So therefore here, it's a matter of elevation. There, it's a matter of expression of devotion. But in any case, the form, social form, is still there. It's still used. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So therefore he arranged for the samskars. Then we can see is that the Shudra is not qualified because he doesn't have the samskars. So when he saw he didn't have this, so if he didn't have the, if he's a Shudra and doesn't have the samskars, then it's left. If he's a Brahman and doesn't have the samskars, he'd do the samskars. Right? So then they have it. Because the samskars will work for someone who has the qualification. So he said the Vedic mantra is that all that worked because of qualification. You know, it's like the Hare Krishna. Anybody can chant it. They'll get the benefit. Right? Qualification, no qualification. But the Gayatri Mantra, you don't have qualification, it doesn't actually work. It just doesn't do anything. Like that. It's not that, oh, but they want to, or that doesn't matter. You understand? Yes.
I heard that Vedic mantra is to develop more the relationship with the spiritual master and Krishna.
To develop the relationship with spiritual master and Krishna. And that wouldn't be there for anybody else? Or?
according to the mention.
Yes, no, but I'm saying, why just an ISKCON? Why not? That's the Vedic principle.
I don't know if Abhay is the same or different.
No, but we're discussing the generic principle. In other words, the Dvija then has the, gets the Gayatri Mantra. Right? So, but unless you have the qualifications, unless the sampana, they don't work.
At least my Guru Maharaj, he said that we are not really qualified. We get the same information, the Gayatri Mantra. But if we practice it, we can develop the qualities. But if,
see, is we're using the Pancharatrik, means if we're going to say on the Vedic standard, yes, maybe not fully qualified, but the point is, okay, do you want to remain unqualified? Is this an excuse to remain unqualified? So why bring it up?
Because I didn't understand about that if you don't have the qualification, this doesn't have any effect for.
So you say that someone who gets second initiation has no different qualification than the one who just walked in the door. Exactly the same. Their commitment, their focus on Krishna consciousness, their surrender to the Guru, understanding the philosophy, control of the senses is exactly the same as the new bhakta who just walked in 2 hours ago. Right? So then why do you say there's no qualification? Does that make sense? Otherwise, if it was just a matter of it didn't matter, then why wait so long to get second initiation? You know, why is it for some people it's years? Sometimes even first is years. Because if there's no qualification, then why would they? So your commitment to Krishna consciousness is the main one. Then all these others will follow. But the Pancharatrik, that changes the body, yes, but why are we qualified to do that from chanting Hare Krishna? So it's not that by chanting our Gayatri alone that that's what's going to qualify. It's the chanting of Hare Krishna that gives us the qualifications of which we can take advantage of. So that combination of the Bhagavat and the Pancharatrik, that's how we are able to be involved. Otherwise, then we wouldn't be able to. And those qualifications that Narad Muni mentioned, we may not see so many of them. Control of the mind, control of the senses, austerity, penance, cleanliness, satisfaction, forgiveness, definitely not that one. Simplicity, right? Modern people don't like simplicity. Knowledge, okay, as long as it's modern. Mercy, forget that one. Truthfulness, as long as it's politically correct. And complete surrender to the Supreme, we accept that one. So, that one we accept and are endeavoring towards. And the others may or may not be there. Right? Okay, to be influential in battle, we'd like to think so. Unconquerable, definitely we'd like to think so. Patient, I mean, that's a bit weird, but challenging, yes, that I got, right? Charitable, well, you know, that control of the bodily necessities or being practical. Be forgiving, again, forget that one. To be, you know, attached to the brahminical nature, like that. To be always jolly, yes, that's good and truthful. Yeah, that's what I want to see in everybody else. So we have a little bit of that. You can see something of this, something of this. Always devoted to the demigods, well, you know, something, you know. The spiritual master, we try our best. The Lord Vishnu, okay, we got that one. Endeavoring for advancement of religious principles, I'm not sure. Economic development, yes. Sense gratification, we don't talk about it. Okay. Believing in the words of the spiritual master, if it matches what I think, and scripture, if it also matches, and endeavoring with expertise and earning money. Bingo, we got it. So there we are, we're within the dvijas. Okay? So like that, where something in there we got, and by the grace of the guru, so that's there. Okay. And then you know this is the standards, then you should be okay with developing, you know, these aspects. You know, you shouldn't think it's fanatic. These are natural. Okay. Yes.
About Brahminical initiation.
About Brahminical initiation.
How it's optional, or how, or maybe I wouldn't take it because I'll get a prestige for it. I want to stay humble. Things like that.
Tell him that he can try crawling under a rock. That might be the most, you know, humbling, like that. You know, live out of a paper bag, or you know, something like that. You know. Why would we consider second initiation a matter of prestige? Why would we look at it from a social point of view? Right? Because it's initiation and that's happening in the ashram side, which is the spiritual. Why would they look at it as a social prestige? You know what I'm saying?
I've heard that expect more from the person who has Brahman care.
So then that's laziness. That's the mode of ignorance. So that means the person, it's not a matter of, it's a matter of they're not qualified, not a matter of I shouldn't take it. You know what I'm saying? Point is if it's due to laziness, then mode of ignorance, then they're not qualified. And if they think it's a matter of prestige, then yeah, better they don't take it, because we don't need more people thinking that second initiation is prestigious. You know? Leading a kirtan, giving a class, it's not prestige. If we look at it that way, that's a mundane Western vision. It's not a Vedic vision. That's a service. You know? Does that make sense? You know, otherwise, is that person comfortable with becoming a parent? Yes. Now, parent means that they basically have absolute dictatorial control over their child. Now, isn't that too much of a prestige? Isn't that too much responsibility and all that that could go to their head and all that? So wouldn't it be better if they want to avoid that prestige, then they should not have children? And then what about their house? They have a nice house, they have nice furniture, they have nice clothes. All these things are things that people will look at socially and think that they're most prestigious. So why don't they just wear old stuff that, you know, like that? Then at the same time, is if you really want to be humble, see, if someone gets married, then automatically they're seen as more mature and everything like that. So they're in a natural, more prestigious. So they should remain unmarried if they want to really become humble, be humble. So are we getting somewhere here? Are they going to do any of this? No. So therefore, if you're not qualified for second, don't try to make it look like you are, and that, you know, you're so cool and everything, that you're so, you know, I'm not worried about it. No, I don't want, and everything like that. You know, if the girl is standing there ignoring the boys, but standing there, what does it mean? She's absolutely and totally into those boys. Otherwise, why would she be standing there? If they were a bunch of dweebs, she would have already gone over to Radha Madhava. But she's still on the Panchatattva side because the boys are there. Right? So what does that mean? Well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to take and this and that. And like that. Has anybody asked them to take? Has anyone told them to take? Is anyone like this? No. They want it. But they're just making this whole song and dance to make you all think, oh, you're so humble. So in other words, they want the prestige. Does that make sense? So that's the meaning of truthful. Is that okay? Sorry? How is second relevant? Means if you have the qualifications, then you use it. If you don't have the qualification, you just keep chanting Hare Krishna. So when Prabhupada said not everybody will take, he was talking about not everybody's going to have that qualification. But by chanting, then they'll progress, they'll move forward. Until either they gain it or, you know, they go back to Godhead, one or the other. Does that make sense? Not that it's, no, we don't have to take and this and that. It says that's the talk of people that shouldn't get. That's not the talk of people who are so intellectual, mature, and everything like that. That's the problem. That's the problem in the modern intellectual way of thinking, is that you're less intelligent, but you present yourself as more intelligent. So it's not proper. It was in case of those who can't do, but they're engaged in their service, then that they keep engaging in their service, then they'll progress. Point is you engage somebody according to their qualification. So it's not necessary that they have to get. It means, in other words, you don't give second initiation to someone who doesn't have the qualification because it's been so long. Or you need a pajari, or, you know. No, it's just, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of they have the qualification, they could apply themselves, they could use it. Then they get. And then with practice, they gain more. Because is there any... Just like control of the mind, this is like we have just a set standard, you have that, and you don't need to develop more. So you can go on unlimitedly. Control of the mind, control the senses, austerity. You can keep going. So it's that there is a potential here in this. We see that there is something there. And so then that's what we're looking for. You know, forgiving. Are we saying that unless you're on the standard of Hari Das Thakur, where they're beating you in the marketplace and all that, and you don't mind, then you're forgiving? No, it's just that even the concept that, well, maybe these guys that, you know, I've hated since time immemorial, maybe I should forgive them. You know, like that. That's at least the start. So if that potential is there, they're seriously thinking about it, though they may not always be able to do it. You know, in their mind they want to forgive, and then when they see him on the road and like that, then they get upset again. You know, then that's another thing, but at least they're trying. But if they're thinking, no, it's my right to be upset and all this, I don't have to forgive, then they don't have any qualification here. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. You take any of it. Be attached to the Brahminical culture. We're attached. Maybe we can't follow it, but at least we're attached to it. You know? Patient. You know, at least we got, you know, what we wanted, and then we were able to control. Be patient. No, we have to be patient in that, and you got yourself another 15 seconds, and at least that's a start. You know, you sincerely thought, yes, this is good, and then, you know. You understand? So that's what we're talking about. But this whole thing of just playing around with it like it's ours to play with, you know. You know, yeah, you know, I could, you know, talking to, one guy's talking to his friend, yeah, you know, I was thinking about it, and, you know, I could marry Miss Universe, but... You know, we're devotees, and then, you know, the prestige issue, and then everybody would be, oh, wow, you know, all this and that, and I would feel uncomfortable, so, you know, I think I probably better I don't marry her. So what's the guy's position? What's his shot at marrying? Zero?
Minus.
Yeah, minus. he's in the negative. Yeah, okay. Another 100 lifetimes, then maybe we'll give it a shot. Right? Okay. So when they talk like that, that means they're not qualified. Otherwise, why do you talk like that? You'd be talking, wow, it's so unfortunate that I don't have the qualifications and this and that, and you know, like this. Because the point is, it's the standard, it's the tradition. Why one wouldn't be endeavoring for it? Why wouldn't be using it as just a point of discussion, you know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
From another point, not about the second, but just about the qualification. Sometimes,
oh, okay.
Because...
not about second, we're talking first.
Sorry.
Third. Okay. Well, technically, we've been talking third.
Okay. So, after some time, the person practices, just because of the time factor, people start to think that you are qualified. Treat you like that.
And then you should, so therefore you should try to act like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like an amazing, okay, yeah, but no, just, and you don't know what's going on. Okay, there it is one day, and then you're holding this little bundle of joy there and all that, and people think you're a parent, now you're qualified, even though you don't have a clue what's going on. So, what do? You make the endeavor.
My point is that from our side, we do make an endeavor.
Yes.
In a sense that sometimes people are in illusion about your situation.
Better they're in illusion.
So better they stay like that?
Yeah, because they're respectful to the Brahminical culture, they're respectful to the progressive aspects of Krishna consciousness, like that, because if you bring out the other side, you don't necessarily want to know what it is. You know? You know what I'm saying? Because I remember one devotee, so humble, so nice, such a nice service attitude. Really, really nice, pleasant, so, you know, really, really like this. But then, when something got him where he got upset, he didn't want to know the other side, because before he joined, literally, he was a hitman. I mean, literally. You know what I'm saying? So, if he sinks down to his mundane side, you don't want that to happen. Better he stays in that and gets purified until he with spiritual knowledge is able to discriminate and this and that. Because the point is if we're discriminating with the spiritual knowledge, we take what's useful and leave what's not. You know what I'm saying? Because if we go by that other thing, then the problem comes up. The problem comes up is that then, okay, there's peels on this potato, so this potato's useless. Right? But anybody who's trained knows the potato's okay. You know? And if there is a problem, okay, generally, you know, on a bad day, you end up with half of the potato. And so that half is good. But you have to be trained to know what's peel, what's all these other things. And then you end up with that part. So that's the whole thing, is that's the training, is how to be able to discriminate without giving up the actual practice of Krishna consciousness. Because nowadays, this whole thing of being truthful and all this kind of jazz, basically people just see faults and they don't actually see what's good in Krishna consciousness. You know, does that make sense? You know, the demigods look down on people living in the Dham as having four arms. We think they're a bunch of idiots. So how is that intelligent? You can't get smarter than the demigods. You know? Does that make sense? So why is it we think that this is good? So in other words, the fault finding is not actually a progressive process. So it's not that we're cheating them, because we're trying to do our best. But it's not that you say, well, you know, actually, you know, this morning I, you know, you don't do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the way it goes. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, the parent, you know, the child thinks the parent's their hero and this and that. No, well, actually, you know, I couldn't pay the bills and I couldn't do this and that, and, you know, and I dropped the wrench on my toe, and you know, he just got, you know, so they're supposed to say like that, and you know. So it's just, you don't do that, you know, unless it's necessary. They're having problem and this and that, and then you show, yes, I've had this problem, but now, you know, you do like this, this is how you get over it. Then it's a value in context to their position. But just to say things, then what's the point? It's just gossip. Now, if they're saying all these things and you're not trying and you're just thinking it's great they're saying all these things, that's then a problem. But the point is Krishna consciousness means you take up the position even when we're not qualified. The material is, unless you're materially qualified, you can't take up the position. But with the spiritual is that you take it up and develop it through the process of engaging in Krishna service. So are you pointing at the tractor, or are you pointing? Okay. You're pointing at the tractor? Or?
Okay. Doing that. In regard to her point, she was saying, and Srila Prabhupada is saying in one of the purports to Chaitanya, that she was saying that preachers are meant to have second initiation because they're Goshtanandis, and Vajananandis, they're not interested in preaching to them. They're fine.
Yeah, so they don't worry about it. It means, you see, the Babaji's traditionally didn't wear the threads, because they didn't have the Upanayana samskar. Because the thread's for Upanayanam. The thread's not for actually the Guru Gaur and Kama Gayatri. It's for the Brahma Gayatri. Does that make sense? Yes.
Even as Prabhupada was making this point that in some moments, some devotees that are not interested in preaching there, they're fine to have
it. Yeah, but generally that, because the mission is about preaching, then people are involved. So if they're not really involved, then it doesn't matter. But if they can involve themselves some way, then it's fine. Like that, you know. But then they act in a supporting way. So they get the benefit from supporting the preaching.
I have a doubt about first initiation.
You have a doubt about first, okay.
So what happens to the devotee who's waiting, as you mentioned, like, you know, 5, 6, 7, even sometimes 10 years for first initiation, and then, you know, there's no cheap potency, there's no connection to the full parampara, and then sometimes it happens like a fruit overripes.
No, but the Purush Charyavidhi, you're still getting benefit. You're chanting, you're getting spiritual benefit, and you're just developing more in the Purush Charyavidhi. So if you do take initiation, it'll move forward very quickly. Yeah, so if it's just there's not an opportunity, then you don't worry about it. If it's that they're just not getting serious, then, you know, what can you do? So it just depends upon which you're looking at. The person's not that serious, they come around sometimes and disappear for a while, then come around and then disappear. Then they're not getting that. That's just, if they keep coming around, eventually the Agyata Sukriti will build up until they actually come to that point. You know, because then they have that faith, they're committed, they associate, then they'll come to Bhajana Kriya very nicely. But if it's a matter of they're around, they're serious, but they can't find someone to surrender to, just continue at it, because the process is purifying, and by chanting you're getting benefits. So the fruit is love of God, so until you get to that point, you don't have to worry about it getting overripe. You know? Does that make sense?
Means you
sense.
Don't have to worry about?
You don't have to worry about it becoming overripe.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, like that. Because the prema is so perfect, it's always perfectly ripe eternally. So that's the fruit. Means if they become pessimistic or this or that, then that's another thing. But the point is that why haven't they found someone? Why can't they find someone? Because if they have they have some idea of what they're looking for and they can't find anyone like that, then maybe are they looking at specifically the spiritual aspect, the connection to the sampradaya, the understanding of the philosophy, the ability to train you in that philosophy? Are they thinking that, you know, oh, he should smile all the time, or, you know, oh, I don't have that kind of rapport that we can just hang out like buddies, or, you know, I'm saying, what is their criteria for not finding when we have so many? But if it's a matter of where they are in the situations and that it never quite works out, so whenever the persons that could give them initiation are around and they happen to be out on a business trip, so they can never be there, and so in this way they've missed, you know, every year the programs, or, you know, like that. So that's something, that's a different thing. So you just have to see what it is. They're not serious, or they have a mundane standard of that, so they can't find, or just somehow or another it's always just missed, like that. Or but the point is if they'll continue with the process, it will always be of benefit. It's always good for them, like that. And it's just a matter of time. At some point, it'll work out. Okay. Thank you. Bhagavatam verse reference. Shudras may not become students of the Vedas. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva compassionately compiled the Mahabharata for their study. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:4:25. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus, he compiled the great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers, and friends of the twice born. here. So the idea was is everybody can get that benefit, that principal benefit of Krishna consciousness. So that's what's there. Then you're hearing the same knowledge, you're just not hearing it in the Vedic style, in the Vedic verses. That's the point. The Vedic verses, the Vedic ritual. But you're getting the same knowledge without that. Does that make sense? That's the whole. Yes.
Also from yesterday's discussion, it is that the Veda itself is quite dry, but then, you know, the
medium it uses can be dry, but what it's saying is always Krishna consciousness. But because of that dryness, that perceived dryness, that will be the difficulty.
But then the Smriti is full of rasa. Apparently.
Yes, yes.
It's
because of the technicality of it, the requiring of greater, then one doesn't see. It's just like subtlety. You know, it's just like, let's say, the boys are talking about a girl and the girls are talking about a boy. There'll be a slight difference in presentation. That's the whole thing. But what they're saying is the same. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. You just like, let's say, you've been to like a really formal dinner. You know, European. You have all the plates, you have all the spoons, all the cups, all the. I mean, it's just tons of stuff. Now, to be qualified to use that, know how to use that, know how to deal in the the attitude that's there and how they interact, and every 5 minutes someone's cleaning a glass, standing up, making a toast, like that. Dinner takes 2 hours, like that. How many people can do that as a regular thing and be comfortable? Not so many. Now, if I take that same food, put it on one of those styrofoam plates with a plastic spoon, and hand it to somebody, then everybody's cool with it. You know what I'm saying? So the essential, everybody's qualified for. But the medium through which it's presented, that then takes qualification. And you're like, there, patience, right? One of those dinners requires patience. Who generally likes to do those kind of dinners, right? The kind of in the Kshatriya or, you know, high-end Vaishya or Kshatriya or, you know, that kind of area. You need patience. The dinner takes 2 hours. Not because that they're eating constantly, you know, it's not like a Roman orgy or something. It's just a matter of they're just, you know, this and that, and then, you know, after everyone minutes and all the talk and someone this and that and starts off, then, you know, they take away that plate, the next one comes, and then, you know, just on and on and on, and, you know. So does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is the Vedas, they require that particular qualification because of that medium through which it's presented. Without samskar, you won't understand what it's for. It won't make sense. But just the essential point, the chanting, surrendering to Krishna, and that everybody can do, because that's what it's actually talking about. So the Mahabharata simply just cuts through all that and gives that. But because the medium is then more comfortable, then it may be thought that all the different culture and all that doesn't matter. You know, I can sit out back, you know, out in the alley next to the dumpsters and eat, and that's perfectly good. You know, and eating a regular meal, that's bad. So it has that weakness. And because it's done in stories, then all the side story means you may forget the main story and just get interested in the side story. So that means 3/4 of the time in hearing Mahabharata, you may not be thinking of Krishna. Well, Bhagavatam is better because every verse is about Krishna. So that's the weakness in it, is that Mahabharata catches the attention because of all the stories. But remembering about Krishna, that may not be there. Is that next? Yes.
Because we see even that the basic Bhakti Shastri course, the two books are very devotional and two books are very formal.
Right.
And then now devotees, they came up with the idea to separate the study because it doesn't really match.
I bet if you don't see the match, that's because you're not understanding what's there. In other words, that philosophy, when it's understood and applied, it's the devotional. and the devotional can be explained by that philosophy. So they're one and the same thing. You know, it's like saying, okay, I have this drink. It's very tasty and it's very nutritional. These two don't match. So therefore, we should have something that's really tasty but not nutritional, and something that's nutritional and really doesn't taste good.
That's what we have.
Yes, that's the whole point. So the thing is the two are the same thing from two. One's tattva, one's rasa. But the point is tattva is only explaining rasa. Rasa is only the application of tattva. So they're not different. So if they separate them, then that's why we're going together with this. We see as we're making these points here and here, and the same points come up in the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
So there is no difference between these two. But if we are going to make that difference and make them into two different courses, then what's the point? That means we haven't actually understood what the Gita is explaining, or that then we'll take it that, okay, it's mental speculation and it's sentiment. That will be the next stage. And since we aren't into mental speculation or sentiment, then we can get rid of study of both. You know, since I don't have time anyway because I'm doing my degree so that I can get a job, so I can make money, so I can, you know, perfect my spiritual life. Yes, that's what I was saying. You know, what do we need all this gyan for, you know? We're just into devotional service. So one has to know that these things are there for a purpose. So all this group of things, that was given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That name, Bhakti Shastri, that comes from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
But the books are...
The books are the same. He had more books in it because it was a bigger course. It wasn't like we're doing as a short course. He is a very big course. Yeah, but this was the core, you know. So that was given as one of those, while some of them would use it as that's the basis. When you have that, then you can go into all the other, because he gave 10 courses like that. Those courses are available after you finish the ones that we're doing now. Yeah. They're called the Acharya degrees. So someone would have been a Bhakti Shastri Acharya. So they would know those books. You know, in other words, it's Gita along with all the commentaries of all the Acharyas and everything else like that. And, you know, it would get very detailed. So Prabhupada's given it as the basic, and then you move on like that. And that's how it's used there. You have to get the Acharya degrees, you have to get that one first than the other. But for us, we're already doing it in what Prabhupada's given, so then we can just go straight into those. Because anything that's in those is already included in the Shastra Chakshus includes those books. It's one tradition. It's not. So they should be very careful about splitting them up. Because, in other words, if they can't see that they both are doing that, they should let someone else do it.
I guess it's also some people just like to experiment.
But yes, but that's based on mental speculation because they're not using the culture. It means the Acharya has given it this way. That's why we use it this way. That's culture. So when you don't use the religion, then you end up with speculation, so therefore they experiment. Why would they be separate? You use them at different times of the day. It's not that, you know, you sit in the middle and there's two teachers in the room, one's talking Gita, one's talking nectar devotion. You know? They're different times. They match each other. You know, it's like in the morning program, we're studying Bhagavatam, we're chanting our japa, we're doing rituals, we're singing songs, where, you know, you could say as well, hey, this is all a mix, you know. But at least they could appreciate it as a variety show, so they all go together, right? You know. says, I would be careful about that. If they want to teach all the Gita and then go do all the nectar devotion, but it's all one course, it's going to have two parts.
No, they actually want to separate the course.
Yeah, but then what is it? What would it be? That's the whole point, because Prabhupada gave those two, unless you do the, when you do those two, that's Bhakti Shastri.
Means Gita and Ishopanishad, and then first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, and only then nectar of devotion and nectar of instruction, because it's too high to understand at the lowest stage. And that's
the Prabhupada that. Only gave the first part of nectar devotion,
yeah,
not the last three. So if that's considered too high, then
means people can't digest it. Not that it's.
That's there, but you could also say people can't teach it. If you get in, if you go into the real world, it's like this. Let us say, like take a high grade school, like you've heard of Dune School in India? It's one of the top schools in India, private schools, right?
Yes.
Still there, Dune?
Yes, I heard.
Hmm? It's still there. Last time I heard, back in the, when it was, I think it was 90s, one devotee, he went to Dune, and then when he grew up, he sent his kid to Dune. So I think in the 90s, the you had to pay $40,000 a month for, per month, like that. They only have professors as, it's a secondary school, but they only have university professors teaching there. They get their own house, they have their own car, they have everything. That school takes care of everything for those teachers. Then, at the end of the term, then the grades are seen. So now if everybody's getting a good grade, but somebody's not getting a good grade, okay, then you call their parents and everything like that. But if in the whole class nobody's getting a good grade, they fire that teacher. And they bring in another one. Right, there's a saying, there's no bad students, there's only bad teachers. So in this case, where I'm seeing that they'll not have nectar devotion, but use first canto of Bhagavatam, when Bhagavatam is Rasa Shastra, and all it is the same thing in that, and they can't see the connection, I'm going to go with, we got bad teachers, if they say that they can't make it work. I'm not going to go with the students, I'm going to go with bad teachers, because otherwise, why can't they see that the Bhagavatam is that combination between the two? Right? It means you have all the technical philosophy that's there in the Bhagavatam, but at the same time you have all the rasa and all the stories and all the devotional things. So if they're willing to put that together like that, then that means they don't even understand the Shastra or what Prabhupada's talking about. Otherwise, then why is that the basic? If they can't, I remember as a new bhakta, is that back then istagostis meant discussing scripture. It didn't mean a management meeting. So the temple president would always read from Nectar of Devotion. You know, all the different things and the examples and the little stories that are there. You know, like the Brahmin who burnt his finger, you know, and the sweet rice and the meditation and all those. I remember those from that time. I was a new bhakta. So saying that people can't understand, and that means it was the teacher's not good. Because our teacher is that they aspire, it's pure devotional service. This is what you're here for. Like that. Gita explains philosophically why you're doing pure devotional service, but the point is to be doing pure devotional service, and here it explains what it is. Because Gita explains why you're not the body or the soul, why you're not engaged in material life, why you're engaged in spiritual life, but then here's the spiritual life. You know, that'd be saying like a course on explaining the technicalities of cooking and the importance of cooking and all that should be completely separated from the cooking class itself. You know, the two go together. You'll be a better cook because you know why it's there, and knowing why it's there, then your knowledge of it will improve by practice. So the knowledge you learn from Gita is nourished by the nectar of devotion. The nectar of devotion is nourished by the Gita. That would be the approach. Because otherwise, if they separate like this, then where's it going to end? You know, then we're going to have, okay, the middle six chapters of Gita that talks about devotional service. We're used to that and all that. So then does that, maybe that should go with the nectar devotion one, but then the other chapters, because they're technical, then they should go, why first canto? They should go to the second canto. That's where all the technical stuff is. Yeah, and the 11th canto, and you know, all the Gitas put them, you know. So the whole thing is that it just becomes speculation. That means that's a symptom that there is no culture. Because if you follow the religion, it means the Acharya has given it like this. I don't understand it, but he's given it, so therefore I have to try to understand it. Otherwise, they change this, then they'll just keep changing everything. And then the worst part is, because they can't do it, they'll say nobody can do it. So it shouldn't be done like this. That's the most dangerous. So it's, no, but they go together quite perfectly. You know, if you read open the Gita, the introduction, at the second paragraph, it's already talking about rasa. So maybe they should try reading the introduction.
As a separate piece.
Yeah. That could go with the nectar devotion, but the Gita can't, right? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanam.